The Dodgers up 2-0 on the New York Yankees after the first two out in Los Angeles, California, go the direction of the team in the light blue, I guess, in this case. All right. Couple of things.
So, quick question before you get to this. So what are you watching tonight? If you're a baseball fan and a football fan.
Oh, World Series. World Series. And I'll tell you why. Because I am a football guy. Number one, it's the Giants. Do you feel... Sorry, Chris Lewis. You know I love you like a brother. Do you think for a second that if you miss the Giants, you're missing anything at all? Because I
don't... Who are the Giants playing?
The Steelers of Pittsburgh. So there is... And I had this conversation with Cody Decker on Saturday. There is some interest there from the Steelers' perspective because, as I said last week, I think Russell Wilson's just fine as a starting quarterback. But there is also the question about the drama of, all right, was Russell Wilson good last week, as is very possible that he was, because he was the freshest guy on the football field and because there was no tape? Is Russell Wilson good because the Jets actually suck with a capital S?
It could be it.
I think that's got a lot to do with it. There's any number of possible reasons.
Giants a step down or step up?
From the Jets?
Yeah.
I think they're just a step away.
Okay.
Right? They're like so right
they're
there.
Jets adjacent.
They're Jets. That's fine. They're Jets adjacent. Yes, I'm good with that. Now. Remember, the Giants last week pulled Danny Dimes out of the game, and then immediately in the postgame were like, no, he's still our guy. We just wanted to see if we could spark the offense. Okay. Sure. I guess we'll see. What I would say is this. I think that... The interesting story here is, number one, is Russell Wilson good? Was Russell Wilson the freshest player and so he was just able to outrun everybody, and now that there's a little wear on the 2024 tires, he'll look a little different? Was Russell Wilson good because the Jets stink? And does he keep that job? But there's a second conversation that I think has to be had here. Great one. And that second conversation is the trade deadline is just around the corner. The NFL's trade deadline is November 5th. That is next Tuesday, okay? And NFL teams will have to elect who they want to move on from. See what I did there? Because it's election day.
I think it's also the day the CFP happens. So there's a lot of things happening on the 5th.
Next Wednesday show is going to be lit with a capital L. Here's why I bring that up. Because the Pittsburgh Steelers have two quarterbacks on the roster, one of whom was carrying a winning record a week ago, and then he was benched for another one who came out and won a game. If Russell Wilson wins this game tonight, and I'm banking that he will, if Russell Wilson wins this game this evening, Russell Wilson's 2-0. If Russell Wilson goes 2-0 and he performs like he actually plays well in this game this evening, Russell Wilson becomes a tradable commodity. If Russell Wilson's a tradable commodity, but he's 2-0 and he performs well in back-to-back games, and the Pittsburgh Steelers get a phone call from someone saying, hey, we feel like we're a quarterback away, right? We feel like we just need a guy. We feel like we are a QB away from being good. We, Pittsburgh, would like to send you a whatever, third round draft pick and a player to make something happen here. If you're the Steelers, which one of those guys are you sending away? Now, the answer to me is obvious. Russell Wilson. I'm sending away the nearly 40-year-old guy, even if he's 2-0 and is balling out. And I'm keeping Justin Fields. And I'm keeping Justin Fields because Russell Wilson may very well be the present, but Justin Fields is the future. And while I do subscribe to the philosophy that you live in the present if you're good, the reality is the Steelers aren't Super Bowl good today. They could be. They could be soon, but they're not Super Bowl good today. If this was a Super Bowl good today team, then I'd go, hey, you know what? I'm just keeping both of them. I'm not making a trade, right? Even if that trade could get me the finishing piece, I'll keep them both. I'll let Russell Wilson run me to a Super Bowl this year and Justin Fields do it next year. But they're not Super Bowl ready yet. So I would be willing, if he comes out tonight and he wins the game, I'd be willing to ship Russell Wilson out of town for a couple of good picks or players and keep Justin Fields for the future. That's why this game has an interesting dynamic to it this evening. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Dodgers up 2-0 on the New York Yankees. Game number 3 of the World Series is this evening. And, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it in large part because this World Series so far has been electrifying. This postseason so far has been electrifying. Deck and I have had this conversation a couple of times on this show, on our show. This World Series is as of now, just an extension of what this postseason playoff has been so far. That is really entertaining, man. Like, really entertaining. There's nothing about this postseason that hasn't been phenomenal. We've had, as I've said on the show a couple of times, we've had the plucky underdogs. We have now competing for a World Series, the two big-time corporate teams, right? There's only one thing that has been wrong about this postseason. And that one thing that's been wrong about this postseason is that we have two corporations going at it. We did not get said plucky underdog in the World Series representing America as a whole. We don't have, if the Guardians would have made a run here, I think it would have been electric. But at the same time, and this is something that I have accepted over my years as a broadcaster, you don't have to like it. You do have to accept it. As much fun as it isn't, the reality is, and we can all say that it is not true, the reality here is that we, by and large, as Americans, we love tuning in to watch the big-time teams do big-time things. We love watching the teams that we love to hate, and we got two of them. We got two of them in this ride. We got two of them that are on board, and everybody's kind of picking their poison as far as which of these two teams they want to see lose. I mean, I'm going to keep it a buck. I right now am Team Dodgers, not because I like the Dodgers. I super don't. I am Team the Dodgers because of Freddie Freeman, because I am pulling for Freddie Freeman. Literally no other reason. All right.
So certified hater mode, not activated.
Not for Freddie Freeman. No, I mean, listen, I don't have, like many people do, I don't really have an issue with the New York Yankees. All right. I don't think that, I think they're stuffy. I think they're boring. I think that they are like, I don't know, the no facial hair rule, I think they're antiquated, to be honest with you. I also don't think they're nearly as bad as a lot of people think that they are. I think they're structured, and I think a lot of us don't love structure, all right? Not in sports anyway. I certainly don't. I like unbuttoned, I like fun, whatever. The Yankees are remarkably structured. They have a way that they do things, and they're not going to change it no matter what. Doesn't matter how you feel about it or what year it is. They're going to operate the same way as they always have. But I think Aaron Judge is a stud. I think Giancarlo Stanton is a stud. I love Juan Soto. Love Juan Soto. I like Gerrit Cole, if for no other reason than he's hilarious. Here's what this World Series I think is going to, or is, effectively. The Dodgers are a better baseball team. Okay? 1-9 in the lineup. There is precisely one spot and only one spot where the, only one spot where there is only one spot where the Yankees are a better baseball team. And that's the starting pitching. And this is why I have a big problem with this series. The big problem that I have in this series is that I think the Yankees don't have a path to victory unless Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, and Juan Soto do something miraculous, do something wizard. I think they all have to become the contemporary definition of a murderer's row. I think they have to become a they all have to hit a home run a game. I think that's the only way they're going to be able to get through this. If they can't do that, they're cooked. All right, 8:45, just a couple of minutes late on this segment, but we are glad to have and grateful to John Blau of the Post and Courier for joining us here on the show to talk Clemson ball. John, off day, did you get some sleep? I mean, did you even take the pajamas off on Saturday, or was it a couch day like it was for the rest of us?
It was a couch day. To be perfectly honest, I had a medical procedure, a dental procedure on Friday, so I might sound a little lispy because I have a retainer in my mouth. But, I took some downtime, but it wasn't exactly the most pleasant.
I was going to say, that's a hell of a lot different than I sat on my couch drinking beer and eating popcorn. You know, I'm sorry to hear it, John, but I'm glad you came out the other end able to still, you know, talk.
Yeah, I'm still able to get words out. They just sound a little goofy, but, bye weeks are my only opportunity to get this done, so I got it done, and yeah, I sound weird saying the word weeks. I can't get that word out of my mouth, so let's try to avoid that one.
I want you to know, John.
Wow, you are heartless, Rob. I mean, you're having him on with this, man.
Well, I didn't know, all right? I'd have given him the option to take a day. I will tell you this, John Blau, right after COVID, Rob Brown had a case of Bell's palsy that flared up, which I've never had before, never happened again since then. I could not say the word S because, or the letter S, because half of my mouth wouldn't work. So whenever we would talk sports radio, it was the right. You're fine, is what I'm saying here, but it could be worse.
Oh yeah, I'm not that insecure. I'm okay with it. We can labor on.
All right, John Blau from the Post and Courier joins us every single Monday to talk Clemson sports. Of course, Clemson on the bye this week, and that gave them the extra week to get ready, get set up as the Louisville Cardinals are next up on the schedule. Start with this one, John Blau. How does Dabo handle off weeks? What is the structure around this football team for the off week for Dabo Swinney?
Yeah, I mean, talks about playing against open in terms of, you know, we're not playing against an opponent in particular on that Saturday, but we are, you know, practicing against ourselves. We are playing or practicing to a standard to be competitive the next time we're on the football field. So I think it was a little bit of a gift that they had a couple games going into the bye week where they weren't perfect, where they, you know, obviously defensively, a lot of the reserves giving up a lot of points at the end of games, some undisciplined moments, some penalties against Virginia. I think that actually helped because they could go back into practice and really try to hone in on those things and work on themselves, because they know, you know, everybody's talking about how front-loaded the schedule was coming into the year. It actually looks like it's more back-loaded with, you know, Louisville, pretty good football team. They can score a lot of points. Virginia Tech, Pittsburgh, a couple of road trips that are not that easy. So I think they have a pretty good focus on themselves, knowing they have to kind of really improve to be able to finish off this ACC slate and try to get a spot in the playoff.
Yeah, it's interesting because it did feel with NC State up there, with Georgia up there, with Florida State up there in the preseason, it did feel like it was going to be front-loaded. But now, and you brought it up, you've got Louisville, but it's a trip to Virginia Tech. It is a trip to Pitt, who is a top 25 team. And then, of course, you wrap it up with South Carolina, and we'll find out if what's happening with Shane Beamer's Gamecocks is an illusion or if they have indeed turned a corner. But that game may be a little bit more difficult than anticipated. Talk to me about the mentality of this team, making sure they stay dialed in. Sometimes teams can find a little something, start putting 40s, 50, 50, 60 up on the scoreboard, and it might change the mentality of the team a little bit. How is this team staying centered and dialed in when all of a sudden the last five games look like they might be a little pop to them?
Yeah, I mean, Dabo Sweeney said it himself that, you know, last year they started 4-4. They had to win five straight games, have the quote-unquote, you like to talk about November to remember, to kind of finish that out. This year, they have all their goals still in front of them. Obviously, they had that loss to Georgia, which wasn't great, but they still have, you know, they're undefeated in ACC play. They put themselves in position, but now you have to finish. You have to have another November to remember to kind of, you know, attain your ultimate goals. I mean, I think Barrett Carter, the linebacker, was talking to us a couple weeks ago and was asked for his goals for the season. He said, hey, I didn't come back to go to a bowl game. Like, interpret that as you wish. But they want to go back to the playoff. And so obviously you put yourself in position, but you have to win these games. You know, if you look at the ACC realistically as an outsider, I don't know if two ACC teams are going to make it into the playoff. So you have to win. You have to get into that ACC title game, and you have to win that. So there's obviously a ton of urgency. I think they know they have to take care of business, or their ultimate goals might not be attained.
We are talking to John Blau from the Post and Courier. He covers the Clemson Tiger Athletic Department as the Tigers get set for a home game against Louisville coming up this weekend. If Louisville is a danger to Clemson, John Blau, what would you say they do well that Clemson needs to pay particular attention to?
Tyler Shuck, the quarterback. Obviously, we saw against Boston College they got behind, but I mean they can make some plays in the passing game in a hurry. This is another 25-year-old quarterback. I mean, they played Hank Bachmeyer early in the year from Wake Forest. It's another 25-year-old signal caller, a lot of experience. Obviously, a guy that can really play with a lot of poise and a lot of anticipation and smart and knows where to put the football. So obviously the secondary has been pretty good, the first team secondary, but I mean the second and third string secondary and at times even the first string just giving up some big passing plays. They have to be disciplined. They can't have any busts because it's a Louisville offense that can score points. I mean, they put up 45 against Miami. They came back against Boston College. This is a team that can score a lot. They tend to be slow out of the gate, but they can make a comeback. They can rally. So Clemson's defense is going to have to play off all four quarters, which they haven't really done a lot of this season.
This team is scoring 42 points a game. That is good for fifth best in the country. And of course, you're always going to have the folks, John Blau, that are going to say, yeah, well, when you got Stanford and Florida State and Wake Forest on there, you should. But there's a lot of teams that have that schedule that are not putting up 42 points a game. To date, so far, especially with that big win over Wake Forest, putting 49 up on the board, etc., what would you say? And let's keep the keep the optimism as high as you want here. What would you say would be the thing offensively for a team putting up 42 a game that you would want to see them dial in on, knowing that on the road at Virginia Tech, it's going to get loud, it's going to be raucous, you've got to be concentrated. What's the one thing you would think this offense needs to be working on or you hope that they did during the bye week?
I think running the ball with some more consistency. I know Phil Maffa has had four games with 100-plus yards in his last five, but there's been times where it's taken a little bit of time for them to really establish that. Obviously, you're hoping that Tyler Brown and Bryant Westwood Jr. are available as well, so that kind of adds the explosiveness of your passing game. But, I mean, I think that the surest way to beat any team is to establish the ground game, to be able to take pressure off your quarterback, to kind of really wear down the opponent and take the crowd out of the game. I mean, if you run the ball on them and constantly picking up 4, 5, 6 yards, that can be demoralizing for an opposing team. So you bring that on the road and you kind of stay on the schedule and you're consistently stringing drives together, it's going to be hard for opposing defenses, no matter where you're playing, to beat you. So I would think the run game is an area where they could improve a little bit. They can be a little more dominant. Obviously, they're still averaging about 200 yards per game in that phase, but there's just a little bit of an extra, you know, that they could bring to that, I think, really take this offense to another gear.
John, last one. Do we have an update on the wide receiver core health? I mean, I know we were missing a couple of guys last week, but haven't really gotten, at least I've been able to tell, much in the way of updates as to availability of guys like Wesco. Do we have any?
We haven't talked to Dabo Sweeney yet this week. I mean, we'll talk to him tomorrow. But at the same time, he sounded pretty optimistic about both of them. Tyler Brown had a tightrope surgery, and so, you know, he related that to Tyler Davis, a defensive tackle they had a couple of years ago, had the same procedure. It took him a couple of weeks to get back. So obviously he's had 2 or 3 weeks now, so there's a chance he could be back. And then Bryant Wesco, I think there was a chance that if it was like a really he needed to play in that game, the last game they played, I think maybe he could have. They were just kind of being cautious with him. So I would expect him back as well. I'd be surprised if either of those guys doesn't play against Louisville.
John Blau covers the Clemson Athletic Department for the Post and Courier. Kind enough to join us in this segment every single Monday. John, my man, go rest up. Take it easy, buddy. You got a long week ahead of you, I'm sure.
I'll be fine, but I appreciate it. Thanks, Rob.
I respect it. That's a man who slaps the play like a champion at A-Sign and shows the hell up. John Blau from the Post and Courier. You can follow him on X at John_Blau, B-L-A-U. You can also follow us into the next hour of radio after you follow along with Lonzo Sports Flash.
Bryce Young returns as a starter for the Carolina Panthers, and it resulted in a 28-14 loss on the road to the Denver Broncos. Things remain the same. Young finished the day 24-37 with 2 interceptions and 2 touchdowns to Xavier Leggett. And rookie Jalen Coker. The Carolina Panthers play the Saints at home on Sunday. The newest AP poll has dropped, with the Oregon Ducks holding on to the number one position, followed by Georgia at number 2. Penn State stays at 3. Ohio State stays at 4. And Miami moves into the top 5 for the first time this year. Texas, Tennessee, Notre Dame, BYU, and Texas A&M round out the top 10. Tune in this Friday at 7 p.m. as the Burns Rebels head to Boiling Springs to take on the Bulldogs. It's Burns versus Boiling Springs right here on your home for Burns Rebels football, The Fan, Upstate.